Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Really pleased to be joined by our next guest. He called games before Kobe was in the NBA and is obviously still calling games now. Longtime NBA voice, Ian Eagle, joining us this morning on the show. Ian, good morning.
Hey, DA, good morning.
You know, you got to see Kobe at a very early age. And in 96, when he was drafted, he was a different guy than he ended up becoming at the end of his career. What did you observe or notice about Kobe when he first entered the league?
He had an immense amount of hubris when he entered the league, to the point where I think a lot of people were taken aback and almost turned off. He set up his goals, and his goals seemed a bit unrealistic for those at the time, 1996, that were used to Michael Jordan and Jordan's ascent to the greatest of all time in some people's eyes. And Kobe was saying things that seemed completely out of the ordinary at the time. So I think the initial perception of Kobe was, wow, this is a really cocky young guy who is talking a big game. It's funny for me on two levels, because I think back to 96 specifically. John Calipari had just taken over the Nets as head coach and heading up basketball operations, and he had to make his first draft selection in that position. And they worked out Kobe Bryant, and they were blown away. The GM at the time was John Nash, longtime NBA executive. They were blown away. And everybody, at least the buzz within the Nets organization, was that they wanted this kid. And although it seemed risky at the time, that's what the focus was. But then word began to trickle out that Kobe and his people wanted something else, and maybe they would not play for the Nets, and Kobe wouldn't show up. He would rather go to Italy and play overseas until he got what he wanted. Again, these were rumors. Nets elected to take Kerry Kittles that year, and Kerry had a fine NBA career. Kobe was selected by Charlotte. A deal had already been in place with Jerry West helping to orchestrate it. Vlade Divac goes over to Charlotte, and Kobe Bryant ends up with the Lakers. Fast forward now, 4 years later, Stephon Marbury's on the Nets. He has the game of his life. He scores 50 points against the Lakers. But Kobe Bryant makes the plays down the stretch, and he wins the game for L.A. And we get Kobe Bryant on the postgame show for an interview. And a little bit of that storyline had gotten out there. So we asked him about it. We asked him about the idea of not wanting to play for the Nets. Was that true? And Kobe smiles during the question and answers the question and says, no, I would have played for the Nets. And if I were playing for the Nets, they would have won the game tonight. That's his thought process in a nutshell, diffusing it and then taking it to another level based on his ultra-confident demeanor and belief, this relentless mindset of hard work, of determination, of drive, of holding people to a higher standard, and the fact that he made other players uncomfortable, players that had to play against him, first and foremost. You were uncomfortable having to guard him, having to deal with him. And then players on his own team, because of the level that he expected from himself and he expected from his teammates. And that would create uncomfortable situations. And he seemed to thrive in the uncomfortable.
Ian Eagle joining us this morning on the show. So that's a fascinating description of Kobe, especially as we fast forward to the end of his career, when he becomes the elder statesman that seems vulnerable. He takes his walls down. He loves all the opponents. He has a swan song, a retirement tour. How amazing was that evolution for you to watch up close and personal, that he came full circle from the brash, arrogant, making people uncomfortable guy to making seemingly everybody feel very comfortable around him?
Yeah, it showed a true evolution in his philosophy and his openness to who he was, a self-awareness from the very confident and cocky young kid that came into the league, who then achieved all the goals and took on all the challenges and then accepted the love at the end and embraced it and understood why people were celebrating him in the way that they were. I just can tell you from a personal standpoint, DA, you do this job, this is my 26th year calling the NBA, there were very few players, a handful, you could count on one hand, that you felt different walking into an arena if you knew they were in the lineup. You're talking about Michael Jordan, you're talking about LeBron James currently, and you're talking about Kobe Bryant. Those three changed the whole vibe of your broadcast, of the environment within the arena, and how the game felt. That's next level stuff. That's a select few athletes. Only a few get to that stage. And Kobe got there and stayed there for a very long time. His impact is immense on a generation of players and fans. That's never ever going to fade. His imprint was very much felt, and it's unimaginable what happened yesterday. It was a gut punch for anyone that's been a fan of the NBA.
You know, just the other night, when LeBron passes Kobe on the all-time scoring list, Kobe is very reverential towards LeBron. I mean, he's very complimentary of saying King James is pushing the game forward. And, you know, sometimes legends are really protective of their place in history and really protective of their legacy and really protective of their spot on the all-time lists. And it felt like Kobe was enjoying seeing other people do the things that he once did. It became more of a passion of his to seemingly let basketball be better than when he found it. I don't know, maybe that's overly romantic, but did you get a sense that the game itself had become kind of the passion for Kobe, not necessarily his place in it?
Yeah, I do think his softer side came to the forefront in recent years, and specifically in recent months. He was in Brooklyn in December with his daughter Gigi sitting in the front row. And on the YES Network, the local station in New York that I work with, we had these incredible shots of him talking to his daughter and gesturing over a play that had just taken place, and her interest, her engagement level, listening to her dad. And then her reacting and Kobe nodding in agreement, this bond that had been formed over basketball. And I think to some degree, because of that relationship, it may have opened up his eyes to how basketball is affecting young people, and specifically in his family. His daughter didn't get to see him in his prime. So in a way, he was very much living vicariously through her and what she was seeing with the NBA, with the WNBA, and her dreams of one day playing professional basketball. And I do think the LeBron side of it, you know, just crazy to think that this happened just a couple of days ago, LeBron passing Kobe and Kobe's reaction on social media and this acknowledgement of greatness and accepting that the game moves on without you. But yet this next chapter of his life that was creating so much intrigue and interest because he was so much more than just a basketball player. It was clearly obvious that he was going to have an impact in other walks of life. You could already see it. You could already feel it. And, you know, among the many reasons for being so sad and devastated over this is that fact that you know, we're not going to be able to get to see what this next phase of life was going to have in store for Kobe.
Yeah, I know. Well said. Ian Eagle joining us this morning on the show. My final question is going to be, in your realm, in our realm, we come across a lot of different people, a lot of different walks of life. And I'm wondering if you found Kobe's personal evolution just amazing from a human level. Because, like you said, there was a certain self-awareness. There was a certain vulnerability. There was a certain complete peace that he seemed to find in the last couple of years. And coming from where he came from, where he was combative and aloof yep. and detached and aggressive, is it amazing to just watch that evolution from a human scale?
Yeah, well, just go back, D.A., and I know a lot of people are. They're going online and they're looking up old clips and old interviews just to get a feel for how that evolution took place. Watch some old interviews with Kobe and then watch some recent ones. He had let his guard down. He was so eloquent. Anytime he did an interview, he wasn't going through the motions. And look, you've chatted with athletes for so many years in the position that you're in. I obviously am in a similar situation, and sometimes on camera, sometimes off camera. And it's hit or miss with athletes. Some are into it, and they want to talk, and they want to dig deep, and others just want to get through it and check a box and move on to their next order of business that day. I think even those interviews show you that anything he did for keeps. And the most recent sit-downs when his family became the topic and his view on the game, and at times being asked about his career and trying to put it into context, he was always able to articulate a level of real insight, not just saying things for the sake of saying them, but really listening to a question and answering in a confident and self-reflective way. It just shows you his ability to see how his words could impact others. He was very well aware, and that mentor role was real. There are a lot of players today in the NBA currently playing that will tell you that whatever words, sometimes very brief ones or deeper relationships, they had a major impact on the player. When he spoke, people listened, and there was a reason for that. His presence and his self-confidence were so apparent and very real.
Ian Eagle is our guest this morning on the show. Today is a really difficult day for all of us, and I know there's a lot of listeners that came here today to just hear other people talk about Kobe. So I know from them to you and from us, I really thank you very much for being part of today, Ian. It's a really tough day for everybody,
yeah.
So it means a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure, D.A. Good
Thanks,
to talk
Ian.
To you.
You too. Ian Eagle joining us this morning on the show. Some really interesting words and stories and perspective. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully you guys did as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.